Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Chimp Out Radio. This is episode number 11, and we're going to do something a little different for this episode, at least for the first half of the show. But before I go further into that, let me introduce my esteemed co-host, Birdman. Welcome once again, Birdman.
Hey, not nice. How are you doing tonight?
Not too bad. I've been, out in the sun all day, so I'm sunburnt and half drunk and not in a terribly good mood. And, well, one of the reasons for that is a certain incident that happened, a couple of weeks ago in Oakland, California. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, Birdman.
Yes, the four police officers who were killed by this feral nigger beast by the name of Mixon. Tonight we're going to be doing a tribute to those police officers and basically police officers everywhere. On our own forum, I don't know if we have any other current or retired police officers, but we do have Chicago Avenger, who is our crime reporter, and he's a retired police officer. So basically it's a tribute to him as well.
Yeah, I do know we have, at least a few former law enforcement people. I think Panzer might also be a former cop. Do correct me if I'm wrong, forum members. But I know, you know, we have at least a couple. You know, we are all of us who are aware of the nigger problem are very, I guess we're extra aware of what our law enforcement folks have to deal with day to day, dealing with these nigger monsters. And sometimes the results of the interactions with these apes can be deadly, as was the case in Oakland. Now, Berman, I do believe we have a very special guest with us here tonight who is going to help us pay a special tribute to these police officers.
Yes, we have Aryan Girl with us, and she left a suggestion in our Chimp Out show suggestions thread to do something like this. So we figured, what the hell, we'll invite her on. And she really did some homework to, you know, to talk about these officers who were killed. And if you want to bring her in, not nice.
Sure thing. Aryan Girl, thank you very much for suggesting the tribute, and welcome to Chimp Out Radio.
You're very welcome, and I'm glad to be here.
Well, Aryan Girl, as Birdman mentioned, it was your idea to pay a special tribute to these four fallen police officers that died in the line of duty stopping this monstrous nigger during a violent rampage. And basically, during the next, during the rest of the first half of this show, we want to just basically have an open forum here to do your tribute to these brave men who lost their lives. So if you want to go ahead, Aryan Girl, the floor is yours.
Okay. Again, I told you you might hear some clicking because I arranged everything on my computer. I wanted to, you know, show these police officers as human beings because I, as well as a lot of folks here, I'm sure, and people everywhere, are tired of having them demonized in the media. When I did put that suggestion up in the suggestion forum, I kind of hoped in the back of my head that Chicago Avenger would show his mouth. But, okay, I got nominated to do it, so here goes. And I don't really even think I need to give people a rundown on what happened. Basically they pulled this beast over for a traffic stop. He opened fire on two traffic cops and then fled. I believe the first two traffic cops, one was killed immediately and the other one was pronounced brain dead. They did take him off life support and they did donate his organs. Four people benefited from those organs. I am hoping to God a nigger didn't benefit from those organs, but I did want to keep that word out of this because I kind of want this to be, you know, something nice for these officers and their families. So I'll just go ahead with it, and I want to bring these officers as human beings, and you know, show them for the decent human beings that they were. They're not just police officers harassing Negroes and that sort of thing. They were real human beings with families, likes, dislikes, lives, you know, you name it, okay? And the first officer, John R. Hedge, he was into motorcycles. He collected sports memorabilia. He skied. He liked to trout fish. He was into coaching and officiating prep sports. So, I mean, besides being an officer, he was dedicated to his community with coaching and sports. And he did love being a cop. Quoted by his father, he said it fit very well into his life, and he was very good at it. Hedge was 41 years old of Concord and was one of the four Oakland police officers killed in related shootings in East Oakland on Saturday. He was buried at Mountain View Cemetery in Oakland after a service at Oracle Arena. And he was buried March 26, 2009. He was a 10-year veteran of the department, and he was described as someone who would be the first to respond to a radio call to assist another officer, and a cop who kept an even keel interacting with people while policing the streets of Oakland. This is a brave man. Anybody that would police the streets of Oakland is a brave person. And, he was known for talking to people and talking out problems. One of his fellow officers did say about him, Officer Jeff Thomason, I'm quoting, there are many ways to talk to people, and John Hedge knew how to do it. He attended Wildwood Elementary School, Piedmont Middle School, and Piedmont High School, and he transferred to the Orme School, which was a boarding school in Arizona, where he wrestled and played football. He graduated in 1986. He earned a degree from St. Mary's College in Morgana and in 1990. He taught physical ed at Tennyson High School in Hayward, so he was also a high school teacher, and he coached and officiated prep sports. He served a reserve officer for the Oakland Police Department from 1993 until 1999 when he joined the office full-time. Right out of training, he worked a graveyard shift in that terrible area of Oakland, stretching from High Street to 82nd Avenue, and he really did want to be a motorcycle cop. He transferred to the Motor Division March 7th, though he completed training for that position earlier. The holdup was that Hedge was also a field training officer, training incoming officers in a time when the department dramatically increased its staffing. He was getting ready to be transferred, but he was a field training officer, so it went against him to transfer because he needed to be there to train new rookies. So, I mean, this guy seemed very altruistic and, you know, did a lot for his community. Thomason, the officer I've been quoting, worked East Oakland with Hedge early in their careers when Thomason changed units. He and Hedge kept in regular contact. They spoke about once a week, and Thomason and his wife would often meet Hedge for Thursday night concerts at Todos Santos Sport Park in Concord or for dinner. He loved teriyaki and sushi, and he was single, had no children, but he did have a dog named Bosco. And his neighbors have stepped up to adopt the dog, which is very nice. He had, caring parents. They lived in Piedmont, and they would see their son on television news after a drug bust story. And his father said, "We were certainly aware of the risk, and I'm sure he was aware of the risk." His father was a retired physician, and he said, "You never really think that it's going to come home. You figure it's going to be someone else. I'm sure this caught him completely unaware." Hedge was an organ donor, and the California Transplant Donor Network said this week his organs will save four lives. And again, I said, I hope they save four decent lives, not someone like that of Lavelle Mixon. So that's what I have on him, and I'm sure he will be sadly missed by his friends and neighbors and his family. It's obvious that he was a decent human being. I don't see anything hateful there. I don't see any Klan associations like they would want you to think. The next officer to be killed was Sergeant Dan Sakai. I hope I'm pronouncing his name properly. and it's quoted that he loved being a police officer as well. And I'll read a little something. Even on his first day in the Oakland Police Recruit Academy in 2000, Daniel Takashi Sakai, he doesn't look it, but from the name I'm assuming he's probably half Japanese maybe. He had an infectious grin and enthusiasm for his new career that instantly drew others to him. And I'm looking at a picture of him right now. Very handsome young fella. It just breaks my heart to look at this and know he's gone. These qualities would lift him up the ranks of the Oakland Police Department from patrol officer to canine handler, patrol rifle officer, academy firearms instructor, sergeant, and eventually the SWAT team entry leader. Close friends and former partner Officer Cesar Garcia first met Sakai when the two were raw recruits going through a testing process to get into the academy. Cesar Garcia says, there was an opening event explaining to recruits what to expect. First thing when I got there, I walk in and there's this guy next to me with this big old cheesy smile ear to ear. It was Dan, and right away you could tell he was someone who was really friendly and approachable. We started talking and wished each other good luck, hoping we'd make it through the academy. Well, they both made it, graduated, then went through field training together, and soon became partners on patrol for about a year. Even when on separate assignments, they remained close friends, often meeting for breakfast or going to Cal basketball or football states. They spoke just last week about an upcoming ski trip, so I guess this guy likes skiing as well. Sakai, who would have turned 36 on April 6th, lived in Castro Valley with his wife, Jennifer, a UC Berkeley police officer, and their three-year-old daughter. Now, this name is a tongue twister, but I hope I pronounce it right. The name of the daughter is spelled J-I-J-I-Y-E, Joy G, maybe. He was shot and killed by Laval Mixon, along with three fellow officers Saturday when he led his SWAT team into an East Oakland apartment. His life was here at OPD and at home, said Lieutenant Peter Lau, one of Sakai's supervisors. He was relatively quiet, but he commanded his young troops' respect. He cared about these youngsters and not just their work. He poured his life into various programs here to train other officers. Dan was definitely the person you wanted as a best friend, Garcia said. He was a great father and husband. Probably the best day of his life was when his daughter was born. He was so excited. See, another altruistic man. I'm so tired of them painting as these officers as monsters, and this is why I wanted to do this. Anyway,
if I could interject for a minute, these are all superb men and very brave men, and too often people look at these guys as just the uniform, like almost like a robot, you know, there's nothing
right
behind the uniform, but these guys are all great people. So
they are, and that's why I wanted to bring that. And I found quite a few really great articles, and I just kind of grabbed from here and grabbed from there. I wanted to tell about their lives, their personal lives, their families, and you know, show that these were decent human being. You hear them demonized. Yeah, the robot thing. And like I said, officers don't go into that to make money. Everyone knows a police officer does not make great money. You know, it's a middle class existence, but you know, you got to have heart to do that job. And
especially in a city like Oakland.
Right. I can't see haters, racists. I mean, there's a few rogue, I'm sure, of course. But in general, you know, cops are painted as these racists. If you're racist, the last thing you want to do is go in and protect these animals. That's just what I don't understand. So back to Dan Sakai. He grew up in Big Bear Lake, a resort community in Southern California, where he quickly developed a love for outdoor sports. By age 9, he was involved in soccer and skiing. He was an Eagle Scout, hiking mountain trails and paddling in a canoe down the Colorado River. He graduated from Big Bear High School, then moved up to the Bay Area to attend UC Berkeley, poor guy, where he studied forestry and became a huge Cal sports fan, friends said. He was a member of the Alpha Sigma Phi fraternity and worked as a community service officer, escorting students around the campus at night. Now, this is something that you don't get paid for. So this man was safety oriented. This was in his heart to protect and serve. Not, this wasn't a paycheck or I'm going to get in a job so I can kill me some niggers. Nothing like that. And I'm sick of hearing it. A fellow campus officer called him the most level-headed supervisor anyone could ask for. After he graduated, Sakai spent a year in Japan teaching English. So, yes, I was right. He, according to his name, he does have some Japanese in him. And the last thing, Dan brought so much to life, Garcia said. He was a person you looked up to, you admired him, and wanted to be like him. He wanted to do the best he could. He wanted to serve the community here in Oakland, and he loved being a police officer. You hear this over and over again. They loved being a police officer. You see these cop shows, and these cops, you know, do their thing. And I'm talking about crime dramas. And, you know, they go home, and they're like, ah, this, you know, horrible police work. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, these officers are human. I'm sure at night they did go home and say, oh, these degenerates. I'm not just talking, you know, black degenerates. Everyone, these poor men have to deal with on a daily basis. And if you see their pictures, which after we do this show, probably tomorrow because I'm kind of tired off to go to bed soon, I'm going to make a post with their pictures and with there's a fund you can send for their children's trust funds you can donate to. And I think everybody should, you know, open up their hearts and their wallets, even if it's a $5 bill. No, that shows you care.
The kids are the ones who truly lost out. They lost their fathers.
The children and the wives, exactly. There was one that didn't have a wife or children. That was the first one I read about. But, you know, he had a father, and I'm sure if there was any trust fund in his name, he seemed like the type of man to donate it to some sports association, some community thing, just reading what he was into. Okay, this is the third officer, Sergeant Irvin Romans. And it says, it was Sergeant Irvin Roman's dream. They all dreamed of joining a police force, I'm noticing. And his was a face everyone knew from his training of new recruits on firearms and the use of pepper spray. He knew everybody and everyone who he was, and everybody knew he was because he teaches in the academy. Said the police spokesman, Officer Jeff Thomason. This is the same one that was quoting about the first officer. He was a great teacher. He did a great job. He's a decorated former Marine drill sergeant, and Irvin Romans joined the department in 1996. His dream was to work for the OPD, said Brad Lawrence. He was 42. Roman's former Hayward roommate, who now lives in Georgia. I think he graduated number one in his class from the academy. In 1999, Romans received the department's highest honor, the Medal of Valor, now get this, for helping save residents in a West Oakland fire. Okay, this is someone that just wants to kill Negroes. There you have it, folks. He was promoted to sergeant in 2005 and worked narcotics cases and on the crime reduction team, which was worked to combat street-level narcotics problems and associated violence. He was also a firing range master sergeant. That was right up his alley, Lawrence said. So when he joined SWAT, it was like you couldn't ask for a better, more tactically sound guy to work it. Mike Nicolini, now a motorcycle officer for the Vallejo Police Department, was Roman's partner for several years. He had an exterior of being all business, Nicolini said. He loved being on the SWAT team, and he taught everyone weapons tactics. He was the most tactically sound guy I've ever worked with. Romans was one of the SWAT team members who on Saturday stormed the apartment where parolee Lavelle Mixon was hiding in a closet. Romans was shot inside the apartment and died later that day. Romans, 43. Now, if you look at the guy's picture, he looks like he's in his 20s. He loved to spend time with his family and friends and enjoyed hunting, fishing, and keeping fit. I just remember in the academy, he was the guy we all looked up to, Nicolini said. When he went on runs, he kept us all going, even when he wanted to say, this is enough for us. Romans was a native of Michigan. Kind of a country boy at heart, Lawrence said, just an all-around good guy and excellent cop. Romans lived in Danville with his wife, Laura, whom he recently married and had three children, Christina, Justin, and Kayla. They don't state their age there, but it doesn't matter. There were three wonderful children, I'm sure. He prided himself on being an excellent cook, Lawrence said. We lived together as bachelors and did the typical takeout thing, but once a month or so, he'd put together the best lasagna you've ever tasted. I don't know where it came from, a Marine from Michigan making this food, but the man could really put together a mean lasagna. Dan Stanislawski, an uncle from Ohio, said his nephew was a good guy who tried to do the right thing. Nicolini said that although the two didn't hang out much because they were both busy, Romans was always easy to reconnect with. You could just pick up the phone and pick up where you left off, he said. I miss him a ton. I'm glad I found stuff like this about the officers cooking lasagna and that sort of thing. It just brings such a human element to them, which, of course, they are humans. But, you know, you don't hear that in the media. And, you know, I'm glad I found so much out there about their lives because, you know.
These are the lives that that shitbag nigger extinguished, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. Wives, kids, family, friends. They all had friends. If they were such horrible people, this sort of thing wouldn't be up there about them. Now for, you know, the last one that I have a sort of profile on, this guy was Traffic Sergeant Mark Dunnigan, and they called him Big Baloo, Gentle Giant, and Teddy Bear. Not words often used to describe a veteran Oakland cop, but those attributes perfectly suited Sergeant Mark Dunnigan, all 6 foot plus of him. Friends and colleagues say Dunnigan was a man devoted to his wife, Angela, and his children, Anthony, 15, Sienna, 13, and Patrick, 8, and equally dedicated to make Oakland a safer place. He accomplished that not by force, but being a friendly, level-headed guy who was quick with a joke and a smile and treated everybody with respect. He had a sort of innocent way about him. He was always very open, a kind of big teddy bear, recalled Sergeant Tim Nolan, who worked with Dunnigan in patrol and homicide. His worldview was very positive. His view of people was very positive. Dunnigan, 40, of Tracy, was fatally shot during a traffic stop Saturday. He worked for the Alameda County Sheriff's Office before joining the OPD as a patrol officer in 1991. He served in criminal investigations and homicide and taught academy recruits the intricacies of homicide and robbery investigations. He transferred to the coveted Traffic Motor Squad in 1996 and was thrilled to compete a few times with the motorcycle drill team. Motor guys, we have this bond. We always say God made us two kinds of cops, motorcycle cops and those who wish they were, says Hayward Police Sergeant Corey Quinn, who met Dunnigan when the two departments teamed up for traffic enforcement events. Every time he'd see me, he'd do the line from the movie Tommy Boy, "Brothers don't shake hands, brothers hug," Quinn said. "I'm 280 pounds, so it was quite a sight, two big old cops giving each other hugs. I can tell you that my life is better from knowing him." Dunnigan was born in Elyria, Ohio. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And raised in Pleasanton. He played varsity football and played trombone in the marching band at Foothill High School, where he graduated in 1987. He was a sports fan, always rooting for his beloved Ohio State Buckeyes and the Pittsburgh Steelers. "Everyone was in complete shock," said Beth Ann Ross of Tracy, who played flute in the band. She said Dunnigan was a goofball who made fun of many road trips. "I know a lot of people make fun of band," she said, "but they become your family because you're with them all the time. It just hits you a little harder." Officer Jeff Thomason say they unearthed photos of the band and used them to rib Dunnigan when he transferred to traffic. "Traffic is one of those places where you have to have a thick skin because we will find a weakness and go after it," Thomason said, grinning. "Mark kept trying to convince us he was really a football player." As a teen working at Boy Scout camp, Dunnigan was a gregarious role model for younger scouts who could have been headed for trouble, recalled Ian Clunes, Ross, 37. "Because we had a little bit of idol worship when we were 11 or 12. It carried over to when we were 17 or 18, he said, voice cracking. "Mark was able to get you to be smart and do the right thing." Dunnigan also survived by parents David and Karen Dunnigan of Yorba Belinda and brother Christopher Dunnigan and wife Shannon of Aliso Viejo. I hope I pronounced that right again. And You know, that's what I put together on these officers. And just reading those, you know, four profiles, it seemed like Eagle Scout, Boy Scout, helping, coaching. I mean, these were real people who cared. And it broke my heart when this happened. But just when I put this together, I became all the more upset. Not that just, you know, some animal ended these officers' lives, but anybody ended these good men's lives. You know, and left behind children, wives, dogs, parents, friends, people that looked up to them. And, you know, I'm a little choked up right now. You know, and I said to you guys before you started recording this quote unquote parolee, Lavelle Mixon, you know, these protesters in Oakland, these animals that are holding him up to martyrdom. You know, I bet, usually these Negroes rape white women, but for some reason I feel in my heart that this animal had raped a 12-year-old Negro girl. I feel it just because of where he picked her up and what white girl would be there anyway. He was raping other African Americans. So why aren't these African Americans, and I'm using these words to be more respectful in my tribute to these officers. Everyone knows how I feel, and those words usually make my ears bleed. But I don't want this to be a vulgar thing. I want everyone to remember these gentlemen as the gentlemen they were. I don't want to go off like we usually do and be funny and vulgar. So I'm just why I'm using those words that we usually look down on, because I don't want to, you know, stain the memory of these guys. They may have never used the N word. So I don't want to, you know. I'm doing this for them and their families and for everyone here, so we can all look and say these were good men, let alone police officers. If no matter what they are, these were good men that didn't need to lose their life in any way. If they were miners that got killed in a mining accident, same thing. These were good human beings that didn't deserve this, especially from people they were trying to protect. I can't understand why these protesters aren't up in arms about this parolee animal raping small girls, and I'm sure we're black.
Let's not forget too that Mixon had a criminal record dating back to when he was 11 years old.
So exactly.
This Negro was a piece of shit. He never did anything good in his life, and these four officers died, and so did Mixon. He died as well, and the next thing you know, the Negroes are marching down the street going, oh, this was a travesty, you know, he shouldn't have died. Well, four police officers died, and they don't want to mention that.
Right. Yep. And the only time they do mention it is when they want to say how terrible these guys were, like they were on a coon hunting expedition, which was, I mean, as far from the truth as you can get. Yeah. Yeah, and it's sickening. They were doing their jobs, and it's. I think it really hit so many people so hard because it just wasn't one officer that got killed. This thing purposely killed one officer after the other until they were able to kill him. If they didn't kill him when they did, he would have killed a fifth. He would have killed a sixth. Trust me.
Oh, yeah.
Take out as many as he could, and that I'm sure he was enjoying himself the whole entire time he was doing this.
Yeah, well, on that we can all agree, Aaron Girl, and I really appreciate you doing this and doing this tribute to the officers and humanizing them to the rest of us. I mean, most of us are not in law enforcement, and we don't understand what it takes to be in that line of work. So we really appreciate you telling us more about them, what their lives were like, and just present them as real human beings. I think that will help really drive home to anyone listening to the show, just the magnitude of this tragedy, and the injustice of these four men, these four human beings, not cops, these four human beings having been shot down by this animal. I'm afraid, though, we will have to leave it at that for now.
Can I just add about 30 more seconds of something? I just wanted to add real quick because I did run out of time.
Go ahead.
One thing, and a few members were helping me do this, just looking for things. Google made me want to vomit. Every time I tried to look for information about cops being killed by black criminals, the only thing I got, I would go to page 10, 15, 20, where black these black martyr, you know, oh, these poor, you know, underserved black men who are trying to get their lives together, these aspiring rappers getting killed by evil white cops. Nothing on Google or live search mentioned white officers or any officers for that matter being killed in cold blood by black criminals. And that should tell you something. Also,
yeah.
I wanted to read, there are trust funds set up for the officers' families and their children. I did want to read that, but it's no big deal because you'd all have to grab a pen and write it down. So
either tonight or tomorrow,
I'm just going to post it in the general open forum where to, if you want to open your heart, your wallet, or even just send a card of condolence, there's an address where you can send funds. There's two different addresses. You can send one straight to the family, which you could also send cards of condolence, which I'm sure would be appreciated if you didn't have money. And there is also a trust fund set up through a financial institution for the children. So I am going to post that probably tomorrow morning. I'm sorry I can't get to it tonight, but I'm not feeling so well tonight. But I'm so glad I could do this. And, you know, just besides these four being mentioned, there are thousands of officers who are trying to do their job every day. Even if they don't get killed, the crap they go through. We need to honor these men. We need, even if it's a little bit every day, just when you get pulled over in a traffic stop, be a little more compliant with them. Don't smart off to them. I'm not suggesting anyone does any of this thing, but just think about what these men go through and that they're there to protect us. They don't make a lot of money. They have families, people that love them. They do good things. Let's just try to make life a little easier for these officers. I understand we're not the problem, but if you get pulled over for speeding, you know, when the officer gives you your ticket, say, you know what, thank you for doing your job, officer. You're making the world a safer place. And I'm sure just saying that will mean the world to these fellas.
Indeed. Very good advice. Thank you again, Aaron Girl. Folks,
you're welcome.
Do go to chimpad.com, go to the general forum, and look for that post with the address to help out the families of these fallen heroes who, let's face it, these police officers all over the country are our last line of defense, the only wall we have in many cases between civilized society and this tide of savages and animals who want to just destroy this country. Now, we will have to take a break, a brief break, and we will come back with the second half of the show, which may be a little more like our usual show, but I think it was important that we did what we did here in the first half. However, folks, stick around. We will be right back with Chimp Out Radio. And welcome once again, folks, to Chimp Out Radio. Thank you for staying with us. And, well, we had a touching tribute there, thanks to Aaron Girl, to those four police officers who lost their lives in Oakland a few weeks ago. However, we're going to try to lighten the mood a little bit here and do something a little closer to our normal show here for the second half. Well, Birdman, our news editor for the show, I believe you do have a couple of rather funny nigger-related news stories that you'd like to share with us. I believe the first one has to do, believe it or not, it has to do with niggers, and get this, fried chicken. What is that all about?
Well, first off, yeah, we asked Aryan Girl to stay with us for the rest of the show since, you know, we were originally supposed to have DJ on, but I guess he's doing other things. Anyways, those
we're
pictures.
We're
going
to have to get him in the gut beef for him. You know that guy.
Yeah. Nigger gets life in prison and asks for fried chicken. All right. Apparently, the judge sentenced him. Nigger, when asked if he wanted to make a statement, first told the judge she didn't look a day over 25, asked if she had done something with her hair or lost weight. So he's trying to sweet-talk the judge for some reason. When it received little response from the judge, it then requested a contact visit with his family before being sent to prison, as well as an 8-piece fried chicken dinner with biscuits from KFC. Contact visit was granted. In accordance with jail rules, the family visit was allowed, but the fat nigger will not get his fried chicken. Denied.
Oh, wow. If he can't get his fried chicken, will he ask for a lethal injection then?
I guess so.
Might as well.
I don't know if they ever serve fried chicken in prison as part of the chow hall thing or what prisoners eat there, but apparently Aryan Girl, you had mentioned something about that. He was going to do some kind of plea agreement, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it was the same story, but they did offer him a plea agreement, and he's like, well, you know what? If you give me the KFC, the bucket of KFC, I'll just save you the problem, you know, the time and effort of a plea agreement. I'll just take the life sentence as long as I can have some KFC. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's the same story, but there was a story about a nigger who asked for KFC in the courtroom and said, you know, I'll save you the trouble of the plea agreement. Just give me Ma's chicken. Yeah.
You can't make this stuff up. And you know,
you can't. They're just a parody of themselves. It's
on the forum, we're always joking about how niggers love fried chicken, and you know, we have little KFC buckets of smileys, and you know, modified pictures of Obama with a bucket of chicken and such. But this is for real. You know,
it is for real.
He's about to be sentenced to prison for the rest of his life, and one of the first thing he asks the judge is if he can get a bucket of KFC before he goes off to nigger college.
Hey, that fried chicken is important.
I guess so.
Oh, naughty! But I mean, you know, you're dealing with niggers where when you're talking about plea agreements and sentencing and stuff, and fried chicken comes into play.
Yeah. There's a problem. I'd be more worried about my life and spending so much of it in prison. Chicken would be the last thing. I mean, seriously, cigarettes and whatever I love would be the last thing I'd be worried about, you know? That would be like saying, just give me a cigarette and a cup of Darjeeling and you can put me in forever. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Now.
When chicken is your first priority, you know there's something wrong with that, definitely.
Well, a lot of prisons now are non-smoking. They don't allow cigarettes or smoking or tobacco or any
use of tobacco. County jails are. And federal prisons are. Most state prisons are still smoking.
Well, you know, I'm surprised he didn't ask for, like, a carton of Newports to go along with his chicken.
A great drink.
I got to get me some grape soda before I go off the big house.
Kool-Aid.
Yeah, you can put me in the electric chair, but I need some fried chicken. Yeah, just put him in the chair and put a chicken on his lap. And
there's your fried chicken, nigger.
Yeah, fried chicken and fried nigger. It's a combo meal. Speaking of nigger stupidity, there's another story, Birdman, that that you were going to talk about that combines two things that don't normally seem to go together. That's niggers and chewing tobacco.
Yeah, I couldn't believe this story when I saw it, but 370-pound nigger. I mean, that's a big
nigger. That's a big anything.
Shoplifts chewing tobacco, and he was arrested. Police in Leland are asking for... No, he wasn't arrested. They're still looking for him. Police in Leland are asking for your help identifying a fat nigger bastard caught stealing from a local tobacco shop. The suspect is described as a fat nigger bastard with a beard, about 5 feet 8 inches tall, weighing roughly 370 pounds. He walked off with a bunch of chewing tobacco. Okay, this doesn't make sense to me. He's in a tobacco store, right? You would think the first thing he would go for is like a carton of Kohl's or a carton of Newports, you know. But he steals chewing tobacco. Never
it's
in my life.
It's probably something for Bradford, man.
Oh, maybe.
You know, because even the tax on chewing tobacco went up. He's probably saying, well, if it's $5 for, you know, now I could sell some chewing tobacco for $2.50 and. You know, to these white boys and get me some crack. Yeah. That's the only time a nigger would steal something that is something other than grape drank, Newports, KFC, rims, speakers. If it steals something it that we know a nigger has nothing, no use for, it's because it wants to sell it for crack.
Yeah, probably. God only knows what goes through these apes' mind when they go and steal things, you know. Like, I heard a story many, many months ago about how, a nigger stole conditioner from a Dollar General, like hair conditioner. What use does a nigger have for, like, Pantene Pro-V hair conditioner? I mean, they usually have weaves and wigs that they don't wash anyhow.
Yeah, they don't
maybe
wash.
Maybe it's just they're stealing for the sake of stealing.
It's got to be that.
Get one over on the man, you know?
Yeah, I mean, what is a nigger going to do with something like conditioner or other things? Like, say, that would be like hearing about a nigger stealing soap or books, or it just doesn't make any goddamn sense. You know, I mean, it's like, it's like a nigger going like, hey, I'm going to steal this SAT workbook. You know, it'd be useless to him.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the bookstore. I'm going to steal a book. I'm going to steal War and Peace and shit.
Yeah, I'm going to steal these books by Stephen Hawking. I dig that. I love reading that shit. It's not going to happen.
You know, if bookstores didn't carry Playboy, niggers would never go to bookstores, you know?
You're right about that, I believe, yeah.
I mean, seriously, if I ever hear about, say, a nigger stealing a, like a scientific calculator, like a Texas Instruments calculator, to actually use it, not to sell it for drug money, if I ever hear that happening, I promise you I'll jump off a building and kill myself.
I'd be right behind you.
So I'm in no danger.
I just found another story. I saw it earlier, but I forgot about it. But it's so funny. Funny nigger names, right? You know, these niggers, they shit out their little butt dumplings, and they give them these stupid freaking names. Okay. This story is also on a forum. It's posted by Wolverine. Leah, L-E-A. Nigger name. Okay. Would you think that the name was pronounced Leah or Lee or Lay or what have you? No. This child attends a school in Livingston Parish, Louisiana, of course. Her mother is irate because everyone is getting her name wrong. It's pronounced Ladasha. When the mother was when the mother was asked about the pronunciation of the name, she said, "The dash, don't be silent."
Oh, fuck.
Wow.
This can't be happening.
It never amazes me the way these simian... I mean, what gears are turning in these simian brains? Wow.
They have such an overinflated sense of self-importance that they come up with these dumbass names. But L-E-A, you know, anybody would think it was Leah, you know. But no. It's
that pronounced
the dash, don't be silent and shit, you know.
So does that mean every time we see a nigger with an apostrophe in its name, we're supposed to call it La apostrophe J apostrophe Travy apostrophe on? Are the apostrophes all silent? I mean
some of these,
you know,
niggers,
they gotta make up their minds here. They want to start adding little editing notes in there. You got to tell us what they are.
Hey, I would hate to have to look at one of these niggers' driver's licenses. They must be the size of like a, you know, those novelty greeting cards you see that are like oversized. I mean, God damn it! You know, you shirt out one of your goddamn nigglers. Give him a name that someone's, you know, anywhere, somewhere can actually pronounce or fit on a single sheet of paper.
They just assume that everybody will automatically know how to pronounce their dumbass names.
Well, the thing, we all think like them. And this is why, you know, these creatures need to be just sent somewhere. At this point, I don't care if they're sent back to Africa or sent back to Antarctica or to Mars, for that matter. They need to be sent somewhere else. They're not really fit to live among us. And of course, we've made that abundantly clear during every single episode of Chimp Out Radio. And it still amazes me that they're here among us. And you know what? It's just not working. It's just not working.
I'm sorry. I see the Leah thing now on funny pictures and jokes.
Ladasha.
Oh, my God. I mean, really, if you really had to name your kid Ladasha.
Well, how long before niggers start incorporating numerals and, you know, just random punctuation marks?
That's what I mean, like
Chinese characters.
Editing marks and stuff like that. Editing connotations.
Yeah, they'll just start throwing in there, like, just, like, drawings, you know, into the middle of the name. Like hieroglyphics.
Semicolons.
Oh, my.
I mean, they'll be impossible to figure out. It'll be like fucking, like, the inscriptions in the pyramids. I mean, I know they're Egyptian and shit, and they could fly and stuff, so I guess it'll only make sense, right? But pretty soon, I mean, reading these niggers' names is going to be like trying to decipher the hieroglyphs in the Great Pyramid.
That's like my grandmother. I think I posted about this. My grandmother was an OBGYN nurse her whole life, and she delivered babies. And she told me about the nigger bitch that had the babies, and she named it Syphilia and Gonorrhea. And there was another one. Did I work with this thing? It was years or meant to. Maybe it was in one of my college classes. It was called its name was chlamydia, and there was another one. What is the technical word for a yeast infection? Candida. It's candida. Yeah. Yeah, its name was Candida. So you got one named after syphilis, one named after gonorrhea, chlamydia, a yeast infection, and I'm wondering is this the infections that these boons had when they birthed their butt nuggets?
I heard a story about the she-boon that gave birth, and while she was in labor, she kept hearing the term vagina over and over and over again, so she named her little butt nugget Vagina.
Oh, my God.
I'm gonna name my baby La Twata.
Well, you know, as funny as her name used to be, Hecate's name, Latrine, there are niggers named Latrine. It's actually quite common. I've run into tequilas and chiquitas as well. And do they realize how ironic it is to name their nigglets Chiquita? I mean... You know, that's like naming a cat Fancy Feast.
A little too close to home there for the next.
Right.
So, folks, we're going to have to wrap this up. We're way over here, so we're going to have to wrap up the show, unfortunately. Thank you, Birdman and Aryan Girl.
You're welcome, and anytime you need me, you know, just let me know. I'd be more than happy to do it. But I would like to, if he's listening, there are two people that I would love to hear do this show. Chicago Avenger and Snow Dog.
Yeah, Snow Dog.
I just really would love to hear them do it. They're kind of like secretive in their little ways, but if you can get them on here, I'm sure other people would love to hear them as well.
Yeah, we sure would. Yeah. And right
work
now,
on them. Work on them. Not nice.
Yeah, I'll work on them. And right now, we got a bit of a waiting list. I know that next stop is probably going to be Justin Egger, who I've been wanting to.
Oh, geez, that's going to be a funny one.
So he's probably going to have to be next. But Snow Dog and Chicago Avenger, your notice. I'm going to try to get you on. However, our next show is going to be a great chance for whoever wants to be on to be on. Because Birdman, we're going to be what?
Live and shit.
Oh, boy.
That is right. When is
you
that?
You need to try to post on some nigger blogs to try to get a few niggers to call in so you all can mock them. Just a few. Two or three. But I think that would be hilarious.
Oh, don't worry. we got that.
You should work on that. Or in the future, dedicate a show to try to get only nigger callers in and spend 5 minutes mocking them, you know, like a Michael Savage type of thing.
There's a lot.
That would be hilarious.
There's a lot of stuff we can do, and believe me, the sky's the limit here. However, Birdman, when are we going to be live, and why?
I believe it will be. You reserved the time for May 1st, all right? May 1st.
That is correct. May 1st.
Yeah, we will be doing a special show to celebrate Chimperversary, our one-year anniversary here at Chimp Out. And
woohoo!
Yeah. We're going to be partying and shit, you know?
Going to be up the hook and shit, you know what I'm saying? Wow, too bad we can't have like a national conference, a barbecue or something.
Well, hey, we'll have the next best thing. We'll have a live show on the night. It's going to be late at night. It's probably going to be about 11 o'clock Eastern time. On May 1st, Friday, May 1st, and we're going to have a 90-minute live show. Me, Not Nice, and Birdman will be hosting, and we'll be taking your phone calls. So make sure you you call in and be part of the show. We'll be posting more details about that on the forum in the next few weeks.
Booberry, make sure to get in this time. We want to talk to you.
Call early and just PM me ahead of time. We'll get you in one way or another. But for now, folks, that is it for tonight. Thank you so much for having joined us again for Chimp Out Radio. Thank you to our guest, Aryan Girl. Thank you, Birdman, my co-host, as always. And keep going to chimpout.com and being part of the conversation there. And we will see you on May Day, May 1st. Thank you again for listening to Chimp Out Radio, and goodbye.